Chapter 19, verse 11 to 17. If you know anything about this verse of scripture, you know it is easily perhaps my favorite portion of scripture. Okay, the crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. And because it was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said, a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. Now, verse 14 is so important. Honestly speaking, I wrote a book about this portion of scripture. I did not see verse 14 until this last week. I didn't notice verse 14. And that's where we're going to be this morning, verse 14. Verse 14 says, but his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. After he was crowned king, he returned and called in the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. The first servant reported, master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you will be governor over 10 cities as your reward. And that's the only person we are going to read this morning, because the other two is not your portion. I said the other two is not your portion. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive insight this morning as we share in your word. Father, we ask, we are many, we are different, but your word is powerful and yet the same. So I pray that, Father, you would help us to understand your word, where we are. Speak to what we need. Show us the light in the name of Jesus. Let your word bring healing. Let it bring total deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let there be a shift in our thinking. Bless us with the benefit of your perspective. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, there is a calling upon your life. Regardless of what your experience has been like, regardless of what you have done or what you are doing right now, regardless of how difficult or not life is for you right now, please always remember there is a call over your life. The big idea I came to share with us this morning is that every believer, listen, every believer is designed by God to mature into ministry. It's very important. Regardless of your history, as long as you are born again, you need to understand. When I say designed, I am saying it is already in you. Hallelujah. It's already in you. Paul told Timothy to fan into flame the gift that is already inside. You need to realize, if I am a child of God, if I've given my life to Christ, my configuration is that as I mature into ministry. Let's look at scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, New Living Translation of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Before you gave your life to Jesus, even before Jesus went to the cross, God designed that there is a way to live your life. Hallelujah. He says you are God's masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. You are a piece of art. You are intricately fashioned by God. See, to do certain things. As a child of God, you need to understand you were configured. One of the things that would change your life in the new season we are moving into is an understanding of what you already carry. Your prayer life will change. Sometimes when people listen to me, they think I have issues with people praying. What I'm saying to you this morning is that you were configured for ministry. It's already within you. It says from verse 11, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, watch this, is to equip God's people to do his work. Who does the work of God? God's people. Say after me this morning, I was designed to do the work of God. Say it again, I was designed to do the work of God. Say, the purpose of my pastor is to train me to do The work of God. Now watch this. As you do the work of God, it says, and build up the church. It's not the building, it's the body of Christ. So who builds the body of Christ? You. Hallelujah. Who builds the body of Christ? You. What's the purpose of the pastor? To train you to do the work of ministry that builds the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You need to get that. You were not designed to be a doctor, full stop. You were designed to be a minister and a doctor. Are you getting that? You are not a worship leader, full stop. You are a minister and a worship leader. Minister and a mother. Minister and a teacher. Minister and a sportsman. Minister and a journalist. Minister and a politician. You need to get that. Your primary assignment is ministry. It's not a side hustle. As we move into a new season, these are the things that have to change. Our approach to the Word of God. Of course, the series we are in is what? Minding God's Business. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 to 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 to 12. It says, there's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You know, I love the Word of God so much. I love the Word of God so much. Spiritual sensitivity is crucial, but it is only for those who listen. Amen. Listen to me, as a child of God, when you get to that point and you carry yourself like you know, that is when you stop being sensitive to being taught. Hallelujah. Since we have more to say to you, there is a lot to learn. There is more to learn, but you carry yourself like you know already, and that's why you started becoming dull. Look at verse 12. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. That's my emphasis. If you have been in this church for over 5 years and you are not leading prayer and you are not teaching the word, you are the one the Bible is talking about. Oh, look at your neighbor. Call the person's name if you know the person's name. Tell the person for me, by now, you ought to be a teacher. Hallelujah. Come on now, say by now, you ought to be a teacher. Okay, look at the person, put teacher in front of the person's name for me. You see what I'm saying? Some of you have not been in church for long. You will say rabbi. You see, that's the word, rabbi. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor for me this morning, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. I'm going to focus on verse 14 as I begin to round up. We'll continue next week. Don't be distracted. The Bible said the nobleman went to a distant country to be made king. His people sent a delegation to say that we don't want this man to be our king. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Shegu, that is the distraction. Because when they sent the delegation, that he was going to return now became a probability. And the guy that did nothing hid the talent because he was not certain whether his master was going to return. That's one. Two, he gave talents to 10. Only 3 were recorded as coming to give account. What happened to the other 7? They joined the delegation. I don't know if they did. All we know is that the Bible did not tell us. When you look at this story, what is this story about? This story is about the fact that the Bible said Jesus taught, people thought that Jesus was going to return the kingdom to Jerusalem. They thought the ministry of Jesus or the movement of Jesus was political. And to let them know it's not political, there is a political dimension in the future. But this time around, it is still spiritual. So he came up with this story to show them, this is what you are going to have to do. You are going to have to do business till I return to bring the kingdom. That was the agenda. And immediately after he gave the manifesto, verse 14 says, a delegation. Hello? See, you will look like you are in the minority. It does not mean that what God has told you to do is no longer viable. Don't get carried away by what everybody is saying, by what everybody is doing. If there's anything that has happened to believers in 2020, is the fact that a lot of people have been distracted. A lot of people have been distracted. You have abandoned your mission, you have abandoned your assignment, and you are doing something else. Hallelujah. Well, I wish we had time this morning. Listen to this. Listen to this. If the devil cannot derail you, he will try to distract you. If the devil cannot steal your faith, he will try to steal your focus. Doing business is not the same thing as being productive. Amen? Doing business is not the same thing as being productive. You see, not all movements are movements. You can cover 3 kilometers on a treadmill, and you are still in your house. Are you getting this? So it's not enough to be busy. It's not enough to say, I am a Christian, and then you are living the way you like. No, you were configured to live in a particular way. You were designed to mature into ministry. Activity does not equal productivity. It's not enough that you are doing something. Are you doing what he called you to do, or are you doing what is convenient for you? You are built for something. I'm going to go deeper as we go on. So it's not enough for you to be busy. You've got to be busy doing what God has called you to do. Do you understand? Go lock your door. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. God will bring into your consciousness what you have to do next. What you have to do now. I'm telling you what you have to do now. Should I tell you the truth? I called Pastor Kingsley. I said, and that's like over a month ago. I said, there are people who want to join our church, but they don't live in Lagos. Are we not going to be distracting them from attending a local church where they are? I'm just a church boy. I love Jesus. Pastor Kingsley said, so you will tell them to stop attending your program online? I said, no. So you will go to their house and beat them, Abby? I said, no. I said, even if you tell them to stop attending your own church, that they should go to a brick and mortar church to attend, and they should start attending. He said, they may go elsewhere, but can you guarantee that it's not just another online meeting they will go and attend? So you don't have a control over it. What you need to do is build a strategy around it. And then yesterday I was reading the Bible, Matthew 28. It has been there for thousands of years. What did he tell us to do? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. He said nothing about buildings. Oh boy. Did you catch that? So there's a young man sitting somewhere saying, Pastor, you don't understand, I'm on fire. If I can just get money to rent auditorium. You don't need it. Start where you are. Start with what you have. The most important thing is start. Do something. As you start doing, God will reach out to you. He will tell you what to do next. As a pastor, as a minister, I started knowing peace in the word of God, the work of God, when I would sit down and I will pick from within me what is God saying I should do now. Let's round up with Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Message Bible. I heard this verse of scripture for the first time from my pastor, and he quoted it from the King James. He said, because that's the way Reverend George used to quote it to them. But I'm going to read it to you this morning from the Message Bible. It says, and oh yes, tell Archippus, do your best in the job you received from the master. Do your very best. Hallelujah. Paul was writing to them. Now, he did not write this to the whole church. He singled out a brother. Say unto Archippus, see that you complete the assignment that you have received on God. The first thing I told you this morning is that every one of us was configured for ministry. Ask your neighbor for me, what's your own? Ask the person, what is your role in ministry? What are you supposed to be doing in ministry? What are you doing about it? I'll continue next week Sunday. What are you doing about it? I plan to end it end of November, but if care is not taken, we'll probably just do this till the end of the year. Oh, but Pastor, we have to have Christmas message. All the ones we have heard, what happened to them? Amen. Say to your neighbor for me, I'm going to mind God's business. Come and say, I'm going to mind God's business. Say to yourself, I am all about God's business. I am all about God's business. Let me give you this one from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Just before somebody thinks, oh, you mean we are just going to abandon our lives, quit our jobs, and all of us are going to be doing church. No, that's not what I said. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what are these things? The very things that the Gentiles seek after. I'm amazed at this generation. You say, why do pastors have jets? Is it not scripture? Hello? They seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then jets are added unto them. You do what they are doing and see whether you will not get what they are getting. So why is it that pastors' wives are always beautiful? You think God will not save the best for those who are most committed to his assignment, that the man of God will not wake up middle of the night and plead the blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, your peace of mind, I wish I had time, but we'll go into that. We'll go deeper next week Sunday. Your peace of mind, your joy, everything you think you desire that you don't have right now is on the other side of commitment to God's business. Hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet this morning.